Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio this fine Sunday, April the 14th, 2024. A couple of days ago, I broke my podcasting fast and commented on what I characterised as the world teetering on the edge of World War III. I was referring to the issue of a statement by the government of Iran that it would retaliate for an attack by the Israeli state on its consulate in Damascus, which is the capital city of Syria. The air attack by Israeli Lockheed Martin F-35s, which Iran suggests involved 6 missiles, resulted in the death of 16 people, including 7 high-ranking Iranian military personnel. International law is clear that such diplomatic spaces do have a complete immunity from military attack, and it's pretty clear that a breach had taken place. Israel hasn't quite admitted that they did it, whilst everyone knows that they did. Perhaps they're giving themselves a little bit of plausible deniability. Maybe that's a trick the Americans taught them. Or maybe that's a trick they taught the Americans. I don't know. Either way, the retaliation came as promised. In fact, I spotted it being announced on YouTube through the mainstream media's YouTube channels like Daily Express, Daily Mail, New York Times and so on last night. And the announcement was that a flock of drones were indeed on the way to Israel. It subsequently turns out that this flock consisted in about 300 drones. Now, these things don't travel that fast, in contrast with ICBMs. And it was going to be some hours before they got to Israel. So even at that stage, it was apparent that the event was a gesture rather than a concerted attack designed to reap massive damage. It's no secret that Israel is protected by what's called the Iron Dome, which is some American technology which defends against missile attacks. And I believe the Americans have given something similar to the Ukrainians as well. What this clever system does is it shoots down incoming missiles, and it's been pretty effective in the case of Israel, which does endure frequent rocket attacks. We should note that the degree of damage caused by these expressions of impotent rage is actually minuscule compared to what's happening in Gaza and the West Bank, and the munitions used are pretty rudimentary. And indeed, by this morning, the drones had been shot down. It's reported that the US Air Force actually took to the air and shot a number of them down, and it seems like the RAF joined in with one of their Tiger Moth biplanes so as not to be left out. I also understand that the Jordanian Air Force was involved. The Iron Dome also fooled a good many of the drones too, so there wasn't a tremendous amount of damage in comparison, again, to the reduction of the Gaza Strip to piles of rubble and rotting corpses. Reports I've heard are that one child was killed or injured, and that there were a few other minor injuries. Mostly minor injuries. We may, however, never really know. Whatever the case, as somebody said on Twitter, this strike by Iran was a bark rather than a bite. Now, I would think that Iran, if it put its mind to it, could actually deliver quite a sharp bite in this instance, and somehow it chose not to. So that's the picture as of now. President Biden, of course, is saying that he's trying to stay the hand of Israel, because what nobody wants is an escalation to full-blown war in the region. Though one wonders at this point, how is Israel going to be restrained? Iran, for their part, has said, well, that's it. We've discharged the obligation to show you that we can't let you get away with that kind of illegal attack on our diplomatic facilities. But for now, we're drawing a line under it. That actually seems sensible, though, of course, sensible is a word that you apply with a certain amount of circumspection in relation to the Iranian regime. The situation is certainly hotting up from what it was just a couple of days ago when I podcasted about the increased saber-rattling in the region and some of its ramifications for our UK domestic politics, particularly the stance of the so-called opposition Labour Party, and also with respect to various culture war emanations coming out of this whole situation, particularly the call for conscription. So now that the retaliation has happened, I do need to follow up. Obviously, I'm concerned about this situation escalating further, and I've still got one eye on the possibility of Turkey getting involved, more than just slapping a few sanctions on Israel. Mr. Erdogan was rattling his sabre for all he's worth a few months ago, and seemed to be facing considerable pressure from his street. But since then, he's taken a little bit of a smack down from the Turkish public in the latest election. His party didn't do so well, and his stranglehold on Turkey looks to be somewhat lessened for now. But how this will pan out is anybody's guess. In this vein of looking at what is happening with the various regional parties, I'm pretty sure that Hezbollah are considering their options, as no doubt are Ansar Allah, also known as the Houthis, in Yemen, who have the wherewithal to severely disrupt shipping in the Red Sea. The generalised sense of danger is seriously intensified, I think. And we see this further reflected in stock market dips and so on. And an awful lot of foul-smelling hot air is being farted by the Western great and goodies. That is the people who you probably have realised by now, I for one, absolutely fucking despise. Rishi Sunak, UK Prime Minister, for instance, posts on Twitter on the Downing Street headed paper that his support for Israel is total, etc, etc, etc. You've heard this blarney before. And Sir Keir Starmer, leader of His Majesty's loyal opposition, echoes him in almost exactly the same words. But here's the rub. Technically, in international law, Iran has a right to defend itself, given that the attack on its diplomatic space was unequivocally illegal. Ironically, this echoes the spurious claim of Sunak and Starmer that Israel has a right to defend itself, which both have frequently uttered to justify the murder of 30,000 plus Palestinians and to please their poodle masters at the US State Department. Actually, the Israeli razing of Gaza is not and cannot be construed as self-defence, as delineated by international law, since Gaza is an occupied territory already effectively controlled by the Israeli state. Self-defence is allowed in international law only against the attack on a nation state by another nation state. By the same token, in international law, the people of Gaza do have a right to resist by armed force, if necessary, to resist their occupation by a nation state, namely Israel. Clearly, the discourses being emitted from our great and good are all completely fucking topsy-turvy, which is no surprise. In case you think I'm shilling for Iran here, let me say, I don't condone any war. I don't celebrate soldiery as somehow noble. Joining armies is fundamentally stupid if you have any kind of choice. Defence spending is massively wasteful, distorts economies, and is amongst the most polluting activities human beings indulge in. Conscription of young people, and in fact even older people, into armies is fundamentally immoral and ruins lives. All this violence is the wrong move for the human race, and it will finish us. But unfortunately, it's an aspect of life that's controlled by an extremely powerful coterie called the military-industrial complex, which is making a fat lot of money out of all this terrible suffering. And the reaction by the great and good and their accomplices in the Fourth Estate is very, very interesting, because it's completely disproportionate to the damage that was done by the Iranian retaliation. It's all about the symbolism rather than about the actuality, as indeed is the complete Western reporting, with very few exceptions, of this whole miserable Gaza apocalypse. And what strikes me that's happening here is that this is going to be used as an excuse to accelerate the creeping authoritarianism now embraced by pretty well all Western governments. Consider, for example, particularly the case of Germany. Germany, of course, is the state that some 80-odd years ago attempted to eliminate the Jews from Europe by a systematic industrialised genocide. We all know it as the Holocaust. It wasn't restricted to Jews. It was anybody who the ruling political elite, the Nazis, didn't like, including socialists, Jehovah's Witnesses, gypsies, travellers, communists, trade unionists. But the Jews bore the brunt of it, and it was an easy one for the Nazis to pursue, given Europe's centuries-old history of active anti-Semitism and systematic cruelty towards the Jews, who provided them with the perfect other, the perfect scapegoat with which to distract from their own shortcomings. And of course that went on for centuries. It's all legacy. It's all chains of causality which are still rolling out. It's all trauma travelling across generations, as you can also see in America, where the legacy of slavery has still not exhausted its momentum. And of course, as you can see in the genocidal disposition of a good many Israeli Jews, who have kind of inherited the trauma of their ancestors. This, however, is nothing to do with genes or anything like that. It is to do with the stories that get told in families. It is to do with the inheritance of patrimony. It's to do with the disadvantages that people actually experience and the way that they deal with those disadvantages and how they prepare their children to meet them. It's to do with the strategies developed collectively, organically, by oppressed groups. None of this, in some sense, is anybody's fault, though personal responsibility remains an imperative. You can't cogently pin blame on devils your imagination has projected into the world. The world historical demons were, and are, people like us. Blame belongs with the general stupidity of the human race. But Germany, for its part, has absolutely taken the side of Israel, down to attempting to ban marches in support of Palestine, in clear violation of its supposed democratic commitments, and with bizarre, through-the-looking-glass stupidity. To illustrate, very recently there was a meeting of pro-Palestinian activists in Berlin, including a number of anti-Zionist Jews. I know this because Yanis Varoufakis was supposed to speak at this meeting, and he reported on it on social media more or less immediately. And what transpired is that this meeting was broken up by the German police, resulting in the grotesque spectacle of German police in their very nice uniforms physically arresting Jews and frog marching them out of the building. Varoufakis himself was told he cannot speak in Germany on this matter, and even if he tries to speak over Zoom from outside of the state of Germany, they will still issue a warrant for his arrest. This is so upside down and twisted and insane. What we see here is German guilt for the Holocaust, which rolls down the generations like any mass trauma, causing this terrifying inversion. What the German politicians, who must bear responsibility for these actions by the German state, are missing is that just because the ancestors of the Israelis were subjected to one of the worst horrors the world has ever seen, that Israelis can do no wrong. But the actuality is that leading Israeli politicians at this current time are as fascistic in all respects, psychologically, politically, culturally, as the Nazis who attempted to eliminate their ancestors ever were. Whatever suffering their ancestors bore, Israelis remain human beings who can be as shitty as anybody else. You've got to get your head around this before an objective picture of what is going on can be gained. But Germany can't because of its collective guilt. And yet, there's barely anybody left alive who was in Germany and its conquered Reich at the time of the Holocaust. But nevertheless, Again, like the trauma of the Jews, the collective guilt of Germans can come down the ages through the common stories and even through the way institutions change after a nation has disgraced itself and so forth. And the horrible thing is that the left in Germany has also drunk the Kool-Aid. Israel can do no wrong now, and the German state will act as a proxy for Israel and police those who attempt to call Israel out for its crimes. Context does illuminate this insane topsy-turvy world a little. For example, whilst all this drama is going on, Germany remains the second biggest supplier of arms to Israel after the United States. To return to the UK situation, the UK contribution is by contrast pretty small. It's a few percent, though certain essential parts for the state-of-the-art F-35 planes are supplied by the UK. In some cases, activists in the UK have managed to close down the factories that make some of this stuff just by blockade and making it impossible for them to operate. Though these are small victories in the scheme of things, they indicate the way forward in some measure. Little by little, we must dismantle the military-industrial complex, and no doubt its accomplices in big oil and big finance. You've got to get rid of those bastards, because they're profiting like there's no tomorrow from the misery, from the blood of children, and from ruined lives and futures. And you realise, of course, that if this shit storm in the Middle East intensifies and gets out of hand, that, well, first of all, you're going to have massive inflation of food prices and fuel prices. Secondly, you will get an authoritarian clampdown, and its harbingers are already with us, the German example I just cited being paradigmatic. Well, you're going to get that anyway, but it will come even faster and more furiously. This in turn can become an excuse to conscript young people, so you can turn them into clones, into regimented drones for the economy. And you can also expect that the projects that the human race needs to organise collectively on a global scale very, very quickly will all go to shit. There'll be no money for them. There'll be no time for them. The diplomatic conditions will be all wrong because the world will be even more severely divided into camps. And then the concerted global collective action against environmental degradation, including global warming, will fail. So an escalation of the conflicts radiating out of the Gaza genocide is unequivocally a catastrophe in many, many ways. Not least among them is that there will be a massive loss of life of young people. The young people always get sacrificed in these orgies of stupidity, cruelty and bloodlust. That's what happens. And it's happened for a very long time. That's where we're at, I think, and it's grim. As a last word today, I'd like to mention a little news item I happened upon about 2 hours ago. The Israeli government is issuing licences for oil and gas companies to conduct surveys in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Gaza, where it's known there are some very large reserves of natural gas. Interesting. But of course, you know, it's completely disconnected from what's happening between the Jews and the Arabs, huh? No, they can't get on right. So, anyway, I'm just saying to anybody who'll listen, don't put up with it. You'll encounter many little local instances of the syndrome I've tried to roughly delineate. Please, 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 do not put up with it. Call it out. Refuse the twisted requirements of the state and be active. It's time for revolution. It really is. And if you think I'm meaning civil war and fighting and more ritual bloodletting, I'm not. I mean true revolution. True revolution means that we make the economy unmanageable unless our terms are met. There are at least half a dozen points that we all want, in which the horror of the current situation has thrown into relief. Every population on the planet wants food security, adequate shelter, clean water, a future for their children, and regards peace and freedom as the greatest goods. And we could start with that as a basis. We don't have to have fantastic consensus to form a force that can pursue these goods and put the world on a better track. Because if we carry on like this, as we are now, business as usual, the days of the human project are numbered. I'm sorry. Thanks for listening, and lots of love to anybody happening to be listening. And over and out. Make knowledge great again. Speak soon.